Tell us about the Hutchison effect. I mean, we've got lots of new listeners since you were last on 5 years ago. What is the Hutchison effect?
It's an accidental discovery I made way back in 1979 when I was replicating a lot of Nikola Tesla's machinery, actually to the 18th century standards, and I was playing with this high voltage equipment. And I started to notice that certain things would happen, like objects would move around by themselves a little bit. At that time, I didn't think anything of it. And I just happened to mention it to another scientist in Vancouver, who then mentioned it to another group. And they started coming around and filming the effects. Then they presented it later on after several viewings by SAIC group in San Diego, Washington State University. They presented it to the U.S. Pentagon just after Ronald Reagan signed the Star Wars contract.
Ah, yeah, sure.
And then Colonel John Alexander and his team came up to witness some of the effects. And after that, I then put it on mainstream media on CTV NewsHour, did a good demonstration for that network in Canada.
What did people think when they first saw the Hutchison effect literally in motion?
In the news media or the scientists?
In news media first.
Oh, they were all excited. I got fan mail coming in by the ton. It had to be screened to the main television station. That was way back in 1985.
How about the scientists? What happened?
Beg your pardon?
How about the scientists? How did they react?
The scientists were very open-minded and very observant, especially the Los Alamos team and Colonel John Alexander.
Yeah, he's one of the best.
Yeah, he is, and he's appeared with me on several TV shows. And then later on, I did a demonstration for McDonnell Douglas Aerospace Corporation and then some other aerospace companies and the Canadian Directorship of Scientific Technical Intelligence, Dr. Lauren Kuhn, who then they actually just classified the report. I have no access to the videos or communication to the gentleman. Except from that time period, now it's 1986. That was on orders of Deputy Prime Minister Erik Nielsen, who was at that time Minister of Defense. So I have
just
letters
just
anyhow.
All right, and Bob, see if you can explain for us in terms of conventional physics how the Hutchison effect works.
Well, first of all, George, you cannot explain this effect with conventional physics.
You
cannot explain it. This is not conventional physics. This is the Hutchison effect, and let me indicate that this is an extremely sophisticated operation that this young man had going in Canada. I've been doing particle physics research for 40 years and worked at Stanford and Berkeley. I've done Nobel Prizes. Winners. I've been on some very sophisticated experiments, but nothing. This is really something else. This is the most important physics I know of. This is far more important than what they're doing at CERN, in my opinion. Let me just indicate what's going on here. John has three Tesla coils he built himself to 18th or 19th century standards, very sophisticated 1,000,000-volt Tesla coils that he modified so that they wouldn't spark. You know, most Tesla coils, when you light them up, they spark, right? I mean, the sparks fly everywhere.
Well,
so he
sure.
creates and then he put a tunable RF system in the primary of the Tesla coils so he could adjust the frequency. And very carefully adjusted the frequencies of these Tesla coils that are not sparking, but they're generating fields. And the fields are creating canceling electromagnetic fields, and that is not understood in terms of modern physics, classical electrodynamics. They do not understand canceling electromagnetic fields. If you ask people what happens when two photons cancel, they'll say nothing. They say it disappears. But that's not true. Two canceling photons goes into the scalar field. It produces scalar effects. And those scalar effects relate to anti-gravity. If you talk to any physicist about anti-gravity, a classical physicist, they'll tell you it's impossible. There's no theory of anti-gravity in classical physics. And, you know, John, listen, he can levitate 70-pound cannonballs without, you know, using 200 watts of power. And there's no physics theory that provides for that. And so he says he stumbled into this. It was very, that's an understatement. He spent 30 years working on this and modified it slowly over time. And also there was a 1 million volt Van de Graaff electrostatic generator operating in the system too. So this is an extremely sophisticated, this is more sophisticated even than what Tesla did in his experiments, I think. I don't know everything that Tesla did. But, you know, if you talk to any physicist and you ask them what happens when photons cancel, they can't give you an answer. It's not in class. They say that the answer is zero. It sums to zero, but that's not true. And so this is extremely sophisticated science. This is and very, very, very important. It also relates to, this business with the Philadelphia experiment. Let me just indicate. I'll give you another example here.
Right.
John is able to shred bars of steel, puts it in his apparatus, say a 3-inch thick by 3-inch thick piece of steel, maybe a foot long or 2 feet long, and the thing will turn to jelly or it'll shred. And I have pictures of it on my website. There's no conventional physics that does anything like this. There's no heat involved. In a matter of seconds, it shreds or it turns to jelly or it disappears. This is extremely sophisticated. John is the master of understatement. This man, and as far as stumbling in there, this is no amateur operation. This is John is a very sophisticated scientist, and this business of tuning the primaries of Tesla coils with a very, very, very sophisticated RF generator, high current capability, is beyond most people's understanding. This is very, very sophisticated. This is not an amateur hour operation, as some people would have you believe, with a tiny little effect. This is the most sophisticated piece of apparatus I know of, or apparati, or whatever the plural is, that I know of. And it's extremely important to physics. Classical electrodynamics, classical physics cannot explain this. In my opinion, there's not one scientist in the world that I know of, other than myself, can give you a good answer to what's going on with this system.
John, is your work being duplicated or even stolen, trying to be stolen by other members throughout the world?
There's been some indication from folks at Sandy National Laboratories. They replicated it. York University replicated a tiny part of it. A book was published just some months ago on that. But I haven't really seen any video, really, on it. Or other information except text.